What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. Corey Majors.
Hello.
The famous Mike Bassick. The famouser Alec Medford, no doubt, on wrestling highs from last night. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for that, Kevin. We really appreciate that introduction. This is a very busy day today.
Heck yeah, I'd like to say thanks to TNA. I went to the Genesis show last night and had a blast, right, Alec?
It was so cool, man. Had a great time. Thanks to TNA for having us.
So
it was Phil Collins' band, Genesis, Kevin, that I was doing.
Yes, no, I understood.
Good job.
In the beginning.
I debated this quite a bit, but I put a lot of thought into this. You know, Mike, how much you're joking about how, you know, Jerry is going to stay up all hours of the night, maybe get 2 hours of sleep, maybe do this, maybe do that. Look, when the Commanders won in emphatic fashion to make it to the NFC Championship game, there are plenty of reasons for the Cowboys to be embarrassed, right? Like, now they have the longest streak in the NFC without being to the championship game. We're talking about 29 seasons, which is also, by the way, the seventh longest in the history of football. Every team in the NFC has been to the NFC Championship game. By the way, you're 9 years away from setting the record. The problem is two teams ahead of you, both Miami and Cleveland, have active streaks. So that would hold you back. And every team in the NFC has made the NFC Championship game since, I believe, 2010. Except for the Cowboys, who haven't been there since 1995.
It's a tough year to make it.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you got the two best teams in the NFC in the title game.
And
how
I know,
can you overcome that division anyway?
And
what
know,
else can you do?
They scored 73 points in this round.
I mean, yeah, that's a great point. It's not like one of those teams is led by your defensive coordinator and one of those or your former defensive coordinator, and the other team is led by your former offensive coordinator.
Well, I mean, that's why we got rid of Mike McCarthy. He was the one that came in here and forced those guys out of here.
I heard Bobby Belt. The players wanted to play really hard, and Mike McCarthy said, "I'll be damned. You guys, I want you to play as bad as you possibly can."
Yeah.
And then the players like, "Well, the coach said we have to play as bad as we possibly can."
So once the Joneses figured out that Mike McCarthy was the problem and it wasn't the other guys, they shipped him out of there.
Problem solved.
By the way, there's 10, this is per Zach Wolchuk, there are 10 former Cowboys players and coaches on the Commanders this season. So there's that. But I just wanted to throw that out there, and I want to point out,
Repeat that one more time.
There are 10 players and or coaches on the Commanders that were with the Cowboys.
A long time, like in the 90s?
No.
I think Bobby said 7 coaches this morning. So
yikes.
7 of the coaching staff. That means 3 players. Wow.
So the 7 worst coaches last year on the Cowboys went to another team and took a rookie quarterback because they told them to play hard?
Yeah, I guess that's the case.
They just didn't tell our team to play hard last year.
All right, I'm not going to settle down, Jerry, because here's what I want to talk about. And this is what I really, really want to get into right here, right now. There are plenty of reasons for the Cowboys to change. Guess what? There have been plenty of reasons for the Cowboys to change in the past. They haven't then, and they won't now either. Can you live with that? or what are you going to do about it? Because I
quit the Cowboys.
I know you quit the team, and I thought about this a lot. And what I really want to know is, and the Lions made it last year for the person that is asking. What I really want to know is, can you accept that this is just the way it is? Can you accept that they're not going to change anything because the Commanders made it? Like, I see everyone saying, hey, we're a year and a half, give or take, removed from getting rid of your garbage owner, bringing in a new coach and getting a new quarterback. And what happened? Presto, change-o, they make it into the NFC Championship game. The Jones family doesn't learn football lessons. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to quit the team like Mike did? And I totally understand why. There's a lot of other behind-the-scenes reasons as well. Or what? Because I'm not...
I guess I have to, Kevin. I have to accept it.
Okay.
Because I want to be a fan of this team.
Exactly.
Because I want them to accomplish something. I've turned to myself as more of an NFL fan this year because I was like, if I'm going to enjoy the sport, I need to enjoy some other things about it. And that's why I'm literally in this weird place of rooting for the Commanders at the moment, Kevin. Yes, I have to. I have to accept that or... go find something else, because you're right. It's not changing. It's not changing at all. They're not going to do anything different. Hire a new coach. You've already hired. This will be your ninth one. This iteration of it will be your ninth one. And it's not going to be much different because you're not doing anything that changes what the culture or the actions of that coach is going to be.
And so this is where I'm curious, how many people are like Corey? How many people are like me? I've said this before, and I'm just going to throw this out there. It's like my little mission statement. I don't think it's going to change for the Cowboys. I just don't. But I'm not going to stop rooting for them. And that has nothing to do with the Jones family. That has to do with the fact that I root for all of the Metroplex teams. I was born and raised mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
I learned watching sports by going to Texas Rangers games with my mom and watching football with my mom. She is the person who taught me about sports. I watched Cowboys games with Brandon as he grew up. Noah's there. He doesn't really understand what's happening yet, but he'll have plenty of time to get his spirit broken down by that. So I'm not going to stop being a Cowboys fan. I love the Cowboys. I don't love the people who own them. I don't have to love specific players. I don't have to love the people running the franchise. I love the Cowboys because they're a part of my life growing up. They're a part of my life as a dad, and they're going to continue to be part of my life. So that is how I'm going to deal with it. How we've tried to fix it. We have all tried to fix it. We have been sworn at by the Jones family, hung up on, called after an interview because we were a little too tough, all kinds of things. And we will continue to keep asking, why are you doing it incorrectly?
And they'll continue to answer the questions the way that they see fit. But here's what's happened, Kevin. More of the fan base is perked up to it all. We've seen it.
I can see that.
We've seen it here on the fan text. More of the fan base is smart. And they don't want to believe some of the things because they're like, I see other teams do it this way. I see other teams do it a different way and take a different approach to it all. And they've gotten further since then. So I feel like more and more of these fans, Kevin, you're starting to see it on the fan text, are in this toxic relationship and they're about fed up with it. And that's a frustrating time to be in.
And that's what I want to know more about. And just for the record, I don't begrudge anybody whatever their decision is. Like, you need to live your sports life and your regular life however you want. Like, for example, we're getting a lot of feedback. Somebody texted in, I'm going to keep watching the Cowboys. I'm just not going to plan my Sunday around it anymore. And I absolutely get that. Look, I've said this many times. We will go to the earlier church service if the Cowboys are playing at noon. And if they're not, the 10:45 church service is just fine. And I know there are a lot of people who plan like social gatherings, everything. My entire life, my family has planned Thanksgiving around the Cowboys game. And I think a lot of that's still going to be the case. But I want to know, Corey, how many people are out there who are like, it's too much.
Here's the other thing, Kevin, that I'm curious. When was the last time you can think that you continued to pull for something the way that we have when you had this one thing that you knew was that frustrating and in the way the entire time?
And that's a great question, because I think about two of the other teams that I root for, but dang it, they're trying their best and they just don't always get there. Texas A&M football and the Dallas Stars. I believe that Texas A&M is like, hey, what if we pay this coach all the money? Hey, what if we invest in our facilities? It just hasn't worked. But I feel like they're actively trying. The Stars, they've gotten to the Stanley Cup final at least multiple times. It's true. They haven't won a title in going in 26 years now. But they're like, who's the best personnel guy out there? Let's hire him. Let's, like, you can see the effort. Doesn't always work out for you. But with the Cowboys, I feel like, and I nobody is going to change my mind about this. I feel like Brian Schottenheimer is in the building. And they're like, that'll work.
That's what I think. I think it's to hire Jason Witten 3 years from
I could
now.
See that
this
as
is,
well.
This is the stopgap. But I would say this. One, when Ross Perot Jr. owned our Dallas Mavericks in the 90s, that was, I mean, I was still a Maverick fan, but he was intentionally trying not to win. He's like, I don't care. I just want to make as much money as possible. I don't care. I mean, you know, I don't want to. Kurt Thomas, like, you had a good player. He's like, I don't care. I'm not paying the extra $75,000. Just let him go somewhere else. I don't care. Like, that yeah. That really stinks as a fan. Jerry is Ross Perot Jr. at this point with the Mavericks. But I look at this right now. There's 950 people approximately on YouTube right now. Now, that's around the country or around the world. There might be people watching this that are right now not even in the country that are Cowboy fans and listening. 50% of Cowboy fans are only football fans. They love college football, they love pro football, and they love their Dallas Cowboys. They don't like basketball, they don't like baseball, they don't like hockey. They're just like, my thing is football. I like Saturday college football, and I like Sunday pro football and my Cowboys. So it's all they have. Being at FanFest, the people at FanFest are obviously Texas Ranger fans. There's no other reason why you would go out there unless you're also, you're a Texas Ranger fan, but there were so many Tolos out there. Thank you for saying hello to the Amazon drivers right now working. Hey, Amazon driver. I forget his name. I'm sorry. He's a Tolo. He's like, hey, give a shout out to the Amazon drivers, man. Now listen, all the time, huge Tolo. Shout out to the Amazon drivers because it's pretty much a 24/7 job with Amazon drivers and they're listening to our station. Thank you so much. But so many of them said, thank you so much for talking about the Rangers. So much of our content, I'm not saying our show, yeah. But I'm saying so much of the content around DFW is just Cowboys, and they're sick of it. But they're sick of it because they have the Texas Rangers, or they possibly have, in about 45 minutes, the Dallas Mavericks, right? Yeah. So, like, if you do like other sports, you can go somewhere else and go, I'm going to...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back off of this team because they're disappointing me so much, or not trying to win. But I think for 50% of the people right now on YouTube, they're only Dallas Cowboy fans or only football fans. They don't have anything else to go to. They cannot go to another sport or another team. You have four teams, yeah. Or I guess five if you include Texas A&M. Yep. But like, I look at it, and for Dallas Cowboy fans, there's nothing they can do except just sit through this the rest of their lives until their life is over. And then they're like, well, I guess if you're at least 40 years old, you at least got to see the Cowboys of the 90s.
And that's like, that's just so sad. But I guess I don't know, like, Corey, where I stand on this is I'm going to keep liking the Cowboys, but also having this job, keep questioning the Jones family. But you go around in circles because, you know, no matter what the question is or no matter what the answer is, they're still going to do whatever the hell they want to do. I don't think people understand how they are not impacted by outside pressure. I feel like at all. You would think Commanders winning on Saturday would be a huge wake up to the call to them. Oh my gosh, we're the worst in the NFC. I don't think it comes across like that at all. Mm-hmm. And I actually think if the Commanders, I need to double check this. If the Commanders and Lions make the NFC Championship game again, I think maybe every team in the NFC would have been there twice.
What?
Since the Cowboys were last there. Either way, it's terrible no matter how you cut it. But I'm still going to love the Cowboys even if I can't stand the way they do this.
Well, and the Washington, you look at what they just did, Kevin. I feel like we're going to talk about Washington in the next segment here. But they just turned it around in 1 year.
Amazing.
And the Cowboys are going to tell you right now, well, it's going to probably be this year and then next year. Now, granted, Washington sat through how many years of hell to get to this point. Yeah. But they did it. They flipped it with one quarterback, one owner, new head coach. Real fast, everything turned around. And I guess the question for me keeps coming back is, even if the Cowboys get a great coach, is there going to be something that's in the way of that coach? And that's just the way that it is? Like, no coach can overcome this. No coach can overcome. So, Kevin, if we're fretting about that, and now we're fretting about Schottenheimer being the guy, no coach can come in here and change it. There's not a single one out there. It's too many hurdles to overcome. Too many things to defeat. And then you're saddled with this quarterback situation and the money that you have invested there. The roster is going to take so much time. So they do have a window of, 5 years here where it's just like, what moves? How can you be bold? How can you make these things happen when nobody can make a difference when they walk into this building?
That's a great point, because I feel kind of bad because the Vegas odds shifted pretty emphatically to Brian Schottenheimer being the next Cowboys head coach. Sean Sharif mentioned it, I believe, on Saturday. Bobby's been working the phones and his sources this morning. So there's definitely something there. Not to say it'll happen, but there's definitely something there. But then I keep thinking about it. Okay, what if it was Deion Sanders? Hell, what if for some reason Bill Belichick didn't sign his contract and he comes over to the Cowboys? What in the world makes any of us think that you'll be like, hey, you've been able to build successful programs in the past? Why don't you go ahead and do that here?
Yeah, think about Kevin, the all last week when we talked about Deion Sanders, we were like, well, I mean, if anything, he knows how to take the limelight. Like, that was, you're trying to figure out how to justify working with the family that's been involved with running this organization for, you're justifying how can they fit with that? Because that isn't going to change. Like, that's a reality. That's not going to change. And then how are they going to be able to add the roster depth that they need this offseason and do all these right things? It seems like no matter what, it is futile to even try with this one.
Yeah. Look,
after seeing the successes you saw over the weekend, that's where the frustration is the most.
That was definitely a bummer. It really, really was. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk about that game in particular. Commanders win. How long till Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC? Is it already now? Let's do an X right here on The Fan.
Daniels, four-man rush this time, zips it in.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Surely the most stunning NFL outcome of the weekend. Though I'm guessing there's plenty of people who are like, I knew this was going to happen. Good for you. Was the Commanders, no, seriously, I'm proud of you if you knew that was going to happen. The Commanders defeating the Lions in emphatic fashion, 45-31, to make their first NFC Championship game since 1991. Now, we can talk about the game. What I want to just throw on as like an extra bonus question. How long do you think Jaden Daniels will be the best quarterback in the NFC? Is it already now? I think it was Jordan Schultz who put this out on Twitter. Said he got a text from an NFL GM that said, quote, Jaden Daniels is already the most poised quarterback in the entire NFC. I've never seen anything like this for a rookie. Now, poise doesn't automatically mean best. It's a great trait to have as a quarterback. But where do you guys want to start with this? You want to talk about the game or Jaden Daniels?
Let's go ahead and put him there, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
Let's go. I mean, like, go ahead and think about the competition that he has for best in the NFC. He just beat Jared Goff, who quite frequently has been like, hey, great deep ball.
Yes.
And then you're like, there's what else are the things that are missing? And he gets a little panicky in the pocket sometimes.
He was awful.
He has a tendency to go out there and give you a brilliant game and then has a tendency to go out there and just be terrible. Like, the best and the worst at the same time. And a lot of times, Kevin, this season, he has been protected by a fantastic run game.
Yep.
And their defense was stout enough to hold things up. So Jared Goff, maybe not the best quarterback, but had a great team with him this year. Then Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold are the next options. I mean, Jalen Hurts, nobody wants to argue that right now.
I guess Matthew Stafford would be up there.
There's history there.
Okay. I guess that's where I'm going here is, hey, he's played 16 regular season games because he sat out pretty much. He sat out the last game against the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And then, well, I guess he's played, 16 regular season, two postseason. He's played in 18 games. I'm not going to crown him this yet. That's not fair. I know this is a little bit different. Wyatt Langford's the best player in the American League.
Hell yeah, let's go.
Well, he was the best player in September. So I think he could be. Yeah. I think he's trending towards that. I think a lot of people thought C.J. Stroud was a top five quarterback in the NFL his rookie year. And now we're like, well, he's probably still going to be that, but let's give it a little bit more time.
We've been having the same debate with Brock Purdy for the last 3 years, too. So, like, there's that conversation that falls in there.
Also, the quarterbacks do stink in the NFC compared to the AFC. So there's that. He's got that going.
And I think that's what makes this more relevant. Because in the AFC, I'm like, I immediately think of three people that feel, actually probably four people that are at the top of the list.
Allen, Lamar, Burrow immediately.
Exactly. And Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, that guy too. Yeah.
But I was looking at this. He's the sixth rookie quarterback to make it to the conference championship game. That does not necessarily, though, mean you have a bright future ahead of you. So here are the other ones. Sean King with the Bucs in 1999, though he didn't play a lot of that season.
Tulane.
And do you remember what the score of that NFC Championship game was?
Against Philly?
It was against the Rams.
Rams?
It was like 11-6 or something dumb. Yeah. Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, that worked out. Unless you, you know.
On the field, it worked out.
On the field, it worked out. Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez, Brock Purdy. So
he's the same category as Joe Flacco, huh?
Yeah.
He's going to be a great.
So you look at this group of five, and it's like Ben Roethlisberger stands out, and then Sean King, Joe Flacco, Mark Sanchez, and Brock Purdy all go from like below average to, I don't know, sometimes above average. I feel pretty good about. So I have no idea where Jaden Daniels is going to end up in the hierarchy of all of that.
This one season, he walks in and into a what could be looked at as a terrible situation for a first-year quarterback, which we see often.
Yes.
New head coach.
Yes.
Team's been in disarray for a long time. Instead of what happens, the new head coach had a vision for what he wanted to accomplish, gave ownership to everybody in the locker room, and the leaders stood up and said, I'm going to take this on. They went out and got a leader on the defensive side of the ball that he knows very well in Bobby Wagner. Interesting, and said, hey, it doesn't matter that you want this amount of money. You're going to be a leader in this locker room. The Cowboys couldn't do it any times that Dan Quinn was here. So he had somebody that was instantly a leader there. You had Terry McLaurin built in there. They had pieces because they've been stuck at the top of the draft so much. So they were there. All these things, Kevin, in this one year with the catalyst being the guy that could throw the damn ball so well and look so comfortable in the pocket. Kevin, as many times as we can discuss the Joe Flaccos and the Brock Purdy's, none of those guys looked as comfortable as Jaden Daniels has this year in the pocket.
A couple of things from that game particularly, then we need to really talk about all the problems that Detroit had. Jaden Daniels, 12 of 16 against the Blitz for 191 yards and a touchdown. That's the second most passing yards against the Blitz by a rookie since 2016. And so when the pressure was brought, it made a difference. But one thing I heard come out of this game a lot, and I was like, yeah, but not really, right, is people were saying, I guess the injuries finally just caught up with the Lions' defense. I guess.
Jared Goff put them in a bad situation.
Or it's the fact that didn't they have a -5 turnover ratio in this game? I don't think, like, sure, would having all of those players back probably have helped them? No doubt about it. But if you have a -5 turnover differential in any football game, it's probably overwhelming that you're going to lose.
Yes, but then it goes to Washington. They kept taking advantage of those,
yes,
and they just kept moving the ball down the field and scoring that. I think it put pressure on Detroit offensively to go, we got to do everything.
Yeah.
And we have to score a touchdown every time we touch the ball or we have no chance. So once Washington established in that second quarter through turnovers and them moving the ball, that's where I think the second half Detroit was like, we have to score a touchdown every possession, which usually starts giving you more opportunities to make big mistakes.
Yep.
Can I just throw in the specifics of that just to really hammer home how accurate that point is? You go back to the first half, Detroit fumble, next series for Washington, it's a touchdown. Obviously, the next one's easy because it was a pick six. But then if you go into the second half, Detroit interception, then Washington touchdown. So immediately, that's 21 points directly off of those turnovers, to Mike's point about not only did Detroit turn the ball over, but Washington put a hurt on them when they turned it over.
And I mean, quite honestly, the best approach for Detroit would have been just to run the ball the whole game and really not go to Jared Goff very frequently at all. Let him do what he's done so well and be a 16 for 16 guy instead of a 28 for 40 guy.
Yeah.
You don't need him, but they could have continued to run the ball while down and still caught up in this game. But that happens today in this league now. You get down a touchdown, you get down 10 points, you panic, and you're like, oh crap, I got to go make that all up right now. And so you start airing it out in a situation where maybe you don't need to do that. But yeah, Jared Goff put this team in a bad situation in this game. That was a miserable place for them. And my buddy texted and was like, hey man, Aaron Glenn's losing this game. And I was like, I don't think so. Look at what the position that the Goff's put them in, their defense, most of the time. Granted, They continued to get injured and injured and injured. Maybe it did catch up a little bit because the passing game was affected pretty well in this one.
I'm always curious about not just the Cowboys, just teams in general. How much have you already kind of done your research, maybe already had your interviews to the point where, like, whatever happens in that last game, I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but maybe it's not the most important. Like, teams that are chasing Aaron Glenn, how many have already either set up an interview or had an interview or done all their research and they're like, yeah, this sucks, but like, we really like him otherwise.
I feel like, yeah, if you've already done that and you've interviewed him this week, you already had your idea of what he was.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson the same way. And Ben Johnson I feel like he called a lot of really interesting plays. There were a lot of very well-designed plays that he called. I mean, the one interception for Jameson Williams doesn't look great, but there were a lot of really good and well-designed plays. But I feel like if you were warning those coaches before, this didn't change your mind that much.
Did Jameson Williams have the most impact in the fewest amount of plays in the history of football? So we run the gadget play, and he throws the interception. Was that the pick six interception? No,
that was just downfield.
Near out of bounds.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so that goes out of bounds. And then he gets a carry and breaks off it for 61 yards and a touchdown. Like, you really talk about, hey, I'm going to have a huge impact on this game one way or another.
And he had one catch. One catch on the day. Just a weird array of opportunities for him, for sure.
I wonder, and this is probably a conversation for another day, and I know the scenario behind it is different, but for the Lions, this feels very much like the way a lot of Cowboys fans felt after losing last year. It felt like the path was clear for the Lions.
This was your chance.
Yeah, like last year when they made it to the NFC Championship game.
Your coach is gone this year. Both your coordinators are probably gone.
I don't want to be a hypocrite because I did pick Detroit to win this game. But when they lost Aiden Hutchinson, and they somewhat proved me wrong by going 15-2 for the season.
Yeah.
But they had more injuries after more injuries, and I felt like
they stacked up.
Like, this is going to have to catch up to them. And I get teams have overcome injuries like this before, but it started to feel like too much, but then they destroy Minnesota on the last game of the year. And you're just like, maybe it's not. And they held Minnesota to less than 10, but it felt like you could do that at any point at the end of the year against Minnesota.
That's a good point.
So I guess I feel like I hear what you're saying. They were the number one seed. They had a rookie quarterback. They were at home. The NFC is the worst it's ever been in the history of the NFC. I guess you could argue that at one point Rex Grossman made the Super Bowl in the NFC.
That's a good point.
So
but it's pretty damn bad.
But I guess I look at it and go, I hear what you're saying. I'm not totally disagreeing with you, but I feel like the Cowboys, for instance, last year, name me the major players hurt.
Yeah,
in that home game against Green Bay. And I'm not saying it was set up for them to go to the Super Bowl, but I feel like maybe Detroit didn't have as easy as a setup as it looked like Dallas did last year with the injury situation.
Yeah, with the injuries.
I think you can argue the other side.
With the injuries, for sure.
This is not a, come on, guys.
But one thing I will say that plays in the Lions' favor, they don't have the giant, I guess, Jared Goff balloon payment until 26.
Okay.
So if you're curious, because he has a massive contract as well, and we talk quite a bit about the salary cap on here, his cap hit goes from 27 to 32 next year. So it goes up, but it goes up $5.4 million. Like, you would prefer to have that money, but certainly not like something that's going to wipe out your salary cap. Whereas just remember, and I know they're going to tweak it, but Dak's cap hit for next year right now is $89 million.
Mm-hmm.
And they, so 32.6.
St. Brown's locked up. Gibbs, you said, young contract. Yeah. There's a lot of, I mean, does it feel like
they
there's a
signed
lot of
a bunch of, yeah.
They had some youth in their secondary on their defensive side of the ball. Like that's going to come at some point, but it seems like they have the money to be able to make those contract decisions in the next couple of years. But they definitely did benefit from the draft this past season in the last couple of years.
And another one.
But I still feel like with their coaches, Ben Johnson, if he's gone, Aaron Glenn, if they're gone, they'll still have the culture that Dan Campbell has set for the place. But that's a lot to replace in an offseason if you're going to go try and make another run like that, because now you're redoing. are they gonna? Is anybody gonna run the ball the same way Ben Johnson does and trust it that much? So there's a lot of factors there.
I was really curious how Aaron Glenn and Dan Campbell felt when straight away they got another defensive injury. If they're just like,
yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
the hell with it.
What else could we possibly could possibly happen here? Yes, of course that's going to happen. And granted, Kevin, that moment right there, that was what, their 50th cornerback that they've had to go through this year?
Preemptively, if you're on the roster and you play defense, I would have been like, hey, be ready to come in this game. Hopefully we won't need some of you, but who the hell knows? And then, bang, was it the first drive?
Yeah.
Right away. They get an injury, and you're just like...
To a guy that you're sitting there that you're thinking all week, all right, we really need him to stay healthy in this game because we've had injuries at this position anyway, and we're really going to need him to win this game because we know what their offense does. Their offense moves it around a lot, and they're going to go to their wide receivers. Terry McLaurin gets his big one. Like, that's... They knew that was going to happen. That killed them, man.
So, and I just saw somebody text in from the 806. They'll take a step back. Those coordinators will affect them. I'm really interested to see how the Lions bounce back from a, you know, one of the best seasons in franchise history, followed by a really disappointing playoff run, followed by probably losing your two coordinators. I'm really fascinated to see what they do.
I'm always curious whenever these things happen. You've finally gotten to this point. You've finally gotten yourself to a place where you're really good, but you can't get over the hump. How many big drastic changes do you make?
Ben Johnson is the next coach of? You're saying he's gone. Where is he gone to?
I say the Raiders.
Commanders. I mean.
Sorry. Oh, wow.
Jaguars. Really.
Okay. Aaron Glenn is the coach of?
Raiders.
I think Aaron Glenn's going to stay there.
Okay. Interesting.
I think Dan Campbell sounded like, as the season ended, he is like, I don't think people are taking Aaron Glenn seriously as a head coach. And he was trying to sell it as much. He wasn't selling Ben Johnson.
It was kind of the same way we felt about Eric Bieniemy for years. Is Andy Reid's like, you should hire him. He's really good.
And I'm not saying Aaron Glenn's a bad coach. I just think that.
Okay.
I do think they're losing Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
My opinion. I don't think they're going to lose Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
We know the Cowboys head coach has been filled.
Do we?
We don't know that.
Do we know that for sure?
We know. Mike, I'm torn between, I don't think you're wrong, but as like the people on the air, it feels like we have to say it hasn't officially been filled, but do we think?
We're hearing words.
Yeah, that perhaps Schottenheimer is going to be the guy. It sort of sounds like that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next. It's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Masick.
All right, I talked to CY, Chris Young. They're healthy, but they don't have enough money. Next. Aww.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Ladies and gentlemen, right now, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Masick.
All right, if I saw you at FanFest, thank you so much for coming up to me, saying hello, talking to me. Tons of people that said they are Tolos, that they love the station, they love the baseball talk on our show, and here we are for Baseball Nuggets. The other thing, too, is I also saw people at the awards banquet, which was great. Got to listen to a lot of guys get awards and kind of get up and talk about different things. So now I will bring you what they kind of said. Chris Young, this team, as of right now, besides Josh Spores, is pretty much 100% healthy going into spring training. So February 10th is, I believe, reporting date for pitchers and catchers. I believe the 14th or the 15th is the first day of full workouts where the position players are going to be there and you're going to get full workouts. But Josh Young, talk to him personally. He's ready to go. He is, if you are completely healthy and ready to go, completely healthy, ready to go. Everything feels great. And he knows it. He gets it. He gets that his career has been derailed by injuries. Some, maybe you could say he's controllable. Like when he got the calf injury in spring training, you could say, hey, you know, what were we doing to a muscle injury? Sometimes you can say that's controllable. Getting hit by a pitch in your bone breaking isn't really controllable. I can't really,
stinks,
as far as I know, I can't make my bones stronger. I guess I can drink more milk.
Drink some milk.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Does this work as an adult? Do your bones still get stronger?
I don't know. But if a 98 mile an hour fastball hits your wrist area, I don't know if you can prevent it from being broken or not.
Probably
but
not.
But let's say hamstring injuries, yeah, calf injuries, maybe ab injuries, maybe you can prevent. But
some studies suggest that milk can help strengthen bones, while other studies suggest it may not. So there's really inconclusive evidence.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Mike. That's what science has brought us.
Yeah.
Milk could strengthen your bones unless it doesn't. Great. How much grant money did they get to put that together?
Evan Carter, ready to go. Completely healthy, will be full go for the Texas Rangers.
That's exciting. That's really exciting.
I think if you're looking at two guys that could really be, I'll say, X factors for this 25 season, guys that helped you win a championship in 23, those guys look like they will be full go, no problems, no issues. That's huge. Jacob DeGrom feels great, had a healthy offseason, is ready to be opening day starter as of now. Now, they haven't thrown competitively in spring training and gone through the process of throwing 2 innings and 3 innings and 4 innings and 5 innings, then 5 to 6 innings, and then being ready to start the season. People are going to get hurt during that process as a pitcher. People are going to get hurt in the bullpen, throwing in spring training. There's probably going to be some position players that end up like last year. I'm hoping it's not Josh Jung, but they have a calf injury by swinging a bat or running the bases, or you dive for a ball and an ab is strained, something like that. Something's going to happen to this team. It's great that they're completely healthy right now. Adolis Garcia, I believe knee is what bugged him at the end of the last year. Everything is ready to go. So this Ranger team, completely healthy. Here is an issue. This isn't directly from Chris Young. This is from Evan Grant, Dallas Morning News, is that the Rangers right now have $235 million of salary going to players.
Okay.
The luxury tax, the first threshold is at $241 million. So they have approximately $6 million to add another player. But you have to remember this. If you want to make a trade at the deadline, you'd like to have a buffer that you could add a player. And if I do spend that, let's just say $5.5 million, and these numbers aren't perfect. I'm going off of Evan Grant's article and going off of MLB trade rumors summarizing the article, is that sometimes you want a buffer as a president, general manager, that you could make a trade in July and feel like you have a budget to add to the team in July in what you're missing after playing 3.5-4 months of baseball.
And in case anybody missed what you were saying, you avoid that first tax level because then it kind of resets. And so then I'm not saying that automatically means they move into the taxes in future years, but the penalties aren't as harsh.
Yes. And maybe Ray Davis, I don't know this. Maybe Ray Davis at some point says, screw it. We have a team that can do it. And maybe that's in June or July. That he says, all right, this team has proven they're above 500. They're maybe winning the division at the time or really close. And they're like, screw it. Let's do it again. Let's go over and let's see what happens. But right now, the goal is to reset all the tax penalties that they paid last year. And if they set it at 240 and don't go over that 240 number, then everything's reset. And I don't think this is a bad philosophy. We're not the Dodgers. I wish we were. We're not the Yankees. I wish we were. Is to say, for 2 years straight, we'll go over the penalty. But then the third year, we always have to be below the first threshold, so we reset it. I get that from an owner's standpoint. As long as we're not saying we're staying under it every year all the time, I'd say, no, you're not. You have a billion-dollar stadium, and that team, if you wanted to sell it, you could get $3 billion in a heartbeat for the Texas Rangers. I don't mind you resetting it, but we're not doing that. We're staying under $241 million every year. And I don't think that's what the Rangers ownership is going to do. I think they're saying we're going to go under this year and then we'll go over, and not to $320 million where you can't ever get under it without just totally dismantling the team. Like, hey, you want to go to 250 or 260 in 2026? We can do that because I reset the penalties.
And the addition of somebody like Kirby Yates wouldn't be as problematic. Like, I know that's where we're going.
Yes.
But in future years, hey, what does Kirby Yates want? $14 million? Okay, we can handle that.
We can
Whereas right now, you're like, okay, Yes. I got $6 million. What am I going to do?
The article says that Evan Grant suggests you could trade John Gray, who makes $13 million this year on a one-year deal, which is probably very tradable. A lot of teams would be like, wait, I'm taking a dude who gives me 150 innings and like a 3.5 to 4 ERA on a one-year deal. So I'm not, if things don't go well or he gets hurt, I don't have to pay him any more money after this year. Great. I'm not sure the Rangers want to trade John Gray right now. The other one is Leody Taveras. Right now, he's your fourth outfielder. I believe from what I get, the starting outfield, as long as it's not a left-hander pitching against you, but the starting outfield will be Wyatt Langford in left, Evan Carter in center, and Adolis Garcia in right. That will pretty much be your everyday outfield when healthy against a right-handed starting pitcher.
Okay, let me ask you a question because I don't think you can get it done with just Leody.
And Leody makes 4.75.
And so you probably can't get it done. Maybe Kirby Yates like, I think this is the best place ever to go. But more realistically, let's just say it came down to as cut and dry as this. Would you rather keep John Gray or would you rather sign Kirby Yates?
I lean towards Yates because it does bring into more play Rocker and Leiter. Mm-hmm. Now, how much do you trust them? As much as we love seeing Rocker, and I think he's going to be a very good starting pitcher for the Texas Rangers this year and beyond. But I do have to watch his innings. I have to make sure that I keep him healthy because I want him to be a great pitcher the next 6 years for the Texas Rangers. And you start losing a little bit of your depth. Tyler Mahle, he's pitched like 5 games in the last 2 years. I need to go back and check. I'm making that number up, but it can't
but be. But not a lot.
I don't even think it's more than 10. So you got to, what is he going to go through type of deal? Obviously, DeGrom is a guy that you're going to have to skip a start here and there to make sure that you keep him as healthy as possible. So it gets to this with Tyler Yates. I got the team wrong. Bleacher Report is where I had Friday morning that it looked like Leclerc was going to be signing with the Cardinals on a one-year deal.
Oh, yeah.
It ended up being the Athletics. But
they gave him $10 million?
1 year, $10 million for Jose Leclerc. And then the Dodgers went out and signed Tanner Scott for 4 years and $72 million, which is $18 million a year.
They have so much money in California. Well, I guess the A's aren't in California anymore.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, they're in Las Vegas. They're in Sacramento, so yeah, all that money.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
I forget where they are.
I'm just amazed
the
A's are spending money, regardless of what state they're
in. It really does stink for Oakland that all of a sudden they're like, yeah, we got a good starting pitcher, we got some relievers, we're really going to try to win this division this year in 2025. They're like, why couldn't you have done that the last year in Oakland at least, or at least the last 20 years? But so Leclerc got 10. Tanner Scott got 18 a year. He got more than 1 year deal. And Tanner Scott was considered a better option because he's younger than Kirby Yates. Sorry. So I look at Yates around, he's going to be somewhere between 12 and 15 million on probably a 1 to 2 year deal because he is 37. There's Kenley Jansen out there. I want to throw this out there. Kenley Jansen, I would not mind the Rangers signing. The issue is I think that he will be over $10 million a year because he still is a closer. At worst, he's a setup guy. Now, he is 37 also. He's near the end of his career. He wasn't as good last year as he has been. So is that a regression where he's going to be even worse this year? I don't know, because Kirby Yates had his best year of his career at 36, 37 years old. I think the issue is the money. And I'm sure that the Rangers are going to wait as long as they can to see if there's somebody that gets maybe around that $10 million number, and they would have to move about $5 million off the book somehow, some way, which is
AKA Leody.
I think that's it, right? If you're looking at, we want to move five, and we believe that in a way I can move Wyatt Langford to center field on certain days. I have Ezekiel Duran. I have Josh Smith. I have, in a pinch, Jock Peterson. I have three guys that are playing DH and then utility bench roles that can fill in the outfield when I need fill in the outfield situations. So I'm not saying they're going to make a trade. It suggests that they're not, that they're going to go into the season and this is their bullpen. I'm scared of that. I do not like that. That scares me on blown saves in the eighth and ninth inning, because I think you're asking seventh and eighth inning guys now to be ninth inning guys. That scares me. I'm hoping somehow, some way, they figure out a way to get a closer. But right now, looking at it, positive. They're healthy. Their lineup looks great. But I don't think they're going to add anything more to their pen. I hope I'm wrong, but this looks like your Texas Rangers team with approximately $6 million of a buffer until they get to the number that they can't go over.
Did you have fun at FanFest interviewing the people? I know you said you like seeing the people, but I mean interviewing Chris Young, yeah. Josh Young.
It was great. It was great seeing the fans, and they're fired up. The Rangers are ready to go. Who knows what that means? I'm sure the Rangers were ready to go, but there was a lot of distraction. They were the first ever team to win a championship here. Look, you were just at the Dallas Card Show this weekend. Yes. I love going. I just unfortunately couldn't go because of going to all the Rangers stuff.
Tons of Tolos there too.
And I just think that there were so many things that the Rangers had to overcome. And we've seen that no matter who you are, besides the Yankees of 99-2000, if I have my ears right, that's the last time anybody's ever repeated as World Series champs.
I believe that is correct.
So we'll see if the Dodgers can do it. They've obviously signed every freaking free agent there is to make sure they do it. But I think the Rangers are going to be a very good team. If they don't get a closer in the next 2 months, approximately, I do think they'll be searching for one in June and July.
With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we talked about Commanders Lions. Now let's dive into all of the other divisional round games next on The Fan.